After the parade was over, after the palm branches had been waved, after the hosannas had been shouted, after the crowds had scattered, after the supper with his disciples, after the bread was broken and the cup had been shared, after all of this, Jesus went to the garden with some of his disciples to pray. Matthew's gospel records the story like this. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and he prayed, "My God, if this is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but yours." During this Lenten season, we have been intentionally focusing on listening for God in our lives, in our church, in our world. We have been intentional about setting up prayer stations where we could turn away from all the noise of the world and hear that still small voice of God to find God's wisdom. We have shared prayer practices like reading the scripture multiple times and listening for those messages that grab our heartstrings. We've shared practices of prayer like times of silence and listening for the word in song, all so that we can better hear God and hear our own hearts. This Sunday begins the story of the end of Jesus' human life, and this scripture that we just heard contains one of the rare examples of how Jesus prayed. Jesus told us to pray saying the Lord's Prayer, but this scripture gives us an example of how he actually prayed. It was honest. It was gut-wrenching. It was finally a letting go of expectations about life and a turning towards the acceptance that gave Jesus the courage to move forward. "My God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but yours." If you ever get discouraged about how hard it is to hear God's voice, remember that Jesus had to work at it as well. How does Jesus pray? He listens carefully to the many competing voices in his own head and all around him, and then he listens deeply to his own heart, sorting through all that internal chatter until he finds that still small voice in the heart of his heart. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is trying to sort through what his response should be at this moment. Should he flee? Should he fight? Should he acquiesce and be tortured and killed? He seeks a quiet place to sort it out. And he throws himself on the ground in that garden and he listens through all the other noise to find that voice in his heart of hearts. Now, we don't know exactly what he heard at that moment. It's not recorded in the scriptures, but we do know that somehow in that moment of prayer, he found the courage to say to God, "Not my will, but yours. Not what I want, not my agenda, but what you want, O God." We don't know what the Holy Spirit said to him while he was there praying in the garden, listening to his heart. Pastor Eric Elms imagines that this might have been what the Spirit said to Jesus in that moment. "Jesus, You cannot use logic to figure this whole thing out. Where do you hear the music play? Do you hear it back in Nazareth? Or calling down legions of angels to defend you? Or on a cross? You know, you already know where you hear the music playing. Even though it seems impossible to find music there, you know that you have always been able to trust where the music calls you. You can trust it now, even when it seems the craziest thing in the world to do. No, your death is not my doing. It's the world's doing. But your death is also my response. When you go to the cross, it will be the same as my being there. Your death is my death. And through our death, the world will come to see that there is a power that is far stronger than death, a power they can live for. Jesus, do you trust that love is stronger than death? Then put your life where your heart is. And Jesus responded, God, if all of this cannot pass, unless I drink this cup, set before me your will be done. Jesus prayed in the garden and listened to the voice of his heart of hearts. And in that listening, he heard the voice of God and he let go of all of the expectations about life. And he turned toward the acceptance that gives courage to move forward in the face of fear and challenge. It is our lesson too for how to pray, how to find courage when we let go of our expectations and our agendas. We can too turn towards that one who tells us love is always stronger than death, always. It takes courage to live like this. I think we saw that kind of courage yesterday from those incredible students from across our entire nation and all around the world who spoke so eloquently and passionately about things that matter so much, their very lives and ours too. The Parkland, Florida students whose names we have come to know, spoke, but also they were joined by others. Naomi Wadler, an 11-year-old. Did you see her? Incredible. At 11 years old. Edna Lisbeth Chavez, a 17-year-old senior from South Central Los Angeles. Alex King and D'Angelo McCabe, 17 and 18 years old from Chicago, Illinois, seniors in high school. And D'Angelo McCabe quoted his mother and said prophetically, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I stand for peace, he said. It takes courage to live like this. Not my will, but yours, O God. Not my will, but yours. I hand it over. I let go of my control. I turn towards you and I trust in your power that is stronger than anything, even stronger than death itself. After the parade, after the palms, after the hosannas and the Last Supper, Jesus went to the garden and he prayed, listening to his heart, finding his purpose, trusting it like a compass to lead him forward. Out on the front lawn of the church parsonage where my husband John and I live, out there on the front lawn are these little purple crocuses that have begun to bloom. Green shoots and little snowdrop flowers fill our front gardens, even as bits of snow still surround them and dead brown grass is underneath. I stood by these chutes this week and marveled at their bravery. In his book, Let Your Life Speak, author and theologian Parker Palmer writes these words. Though spring begins slowly and tentatively, it grows within and with a tenacity that never fails to touch me. The smallest, most tender shoots insist on having their way, coming up through the ground that looked only a few weeks earlier as if it would never grow anything. The crocuses and snowdrops do not bloom for long, but their mere appearance, however brief, is always a harbinger of hope. And from these small beginnings, hope grows at a geometric rate. The days get longer, the winds get warmer, the world grows green again. In my own life, as my winters segue into spring, I find it not only hard to cope with mud, but also hard to credit the small harbingers of life, to trust that they point to a larger life to come. Hard to hope until the outcome is secure. Spring teaches me to look more carefully for the green stems of possibility, for the intuitive hunch that may turn into a larger insight, for the glance or the touch that may thaw a frozen relationship, for the stranger's act of kindness that makes the world seem hospitable again. After the parade, after the palm branches are waved, after the crowd shouted, Hallelujah, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. It was hard to hear God's voice. It would have been easier to run, to flee, to fight. But instead, Jesus listened to that still small voice deep within. Jesus trusted his heart and his purpose, and he let go of control, and he gave it over to the one who would teach him and all of us that the power of love is stronger than anything. Stronger than the power of hate, stronger than the power of fear, stronger than the power of death, so much stronger. Not my will, O God, but yours. May we also listen and hear the voice of our hearts, giving us courage, giving us strength, reminding us of the awesome power of love. Amen.